What does it mean to be truly educated?
Write your own questions to think about when you make your project. What I'm going to teach you today is I'm going to teach you how to generate your own questions about what you want to learn.
Meet Christine Miller.
I'm going to ask you to really imagine and use your imagination to create a fantasy creature.
Christine is a high school art teacher from Plano, Texas. She believes deep, authentic learning comes from her learners generating their own questions. Therefore, she used inquiry to place her students in the center of the classroom. Christine is a 2008-2009 Teacher of the Year, School for the Talented and Gifted in Dallas ISD, Williams High School Plano ISD Teacher of the Year 2013-2014, recipient of the Education Association Outstanding Secondary Teacher of the Year in November 2014, and National Art Education Association Western Region Secondary Art Teacher of the Year 2016. You can follow her on Twitter at @tagartteacher. In this episode, Christine shares how inquiry is central to developing beautiful works of art and taking learners beyond the curriculum.
But here's our cue focus. Monsters feel. Monsters feel. There's a lot of questions you could ask about that. You're going to, in a group, you're just going to say as many questions as you can think of. And that scribe is going to try to write them down exactly like they said them.
Do monsters mean to scare us?
Do monsters like to scare us?
Or feelings?
I think they do.
How do they feel when they scare us?
Can monsters relate to each other's feelings?
Why are they called monsters? Do they like being called monsters?
So you've used inquiry to guide your art curriculum. What is inquiry and how is it different from most direct instruction?
Well, you know, there's a little phrase that I'm sure you've heard and many other teachers may have heard about being the sage on the stage, and you want to be the guide on the side. And, you know, the sage on the stage is just very teacher driven. It's like, I have all the knowledge. I'm the expert. You know nothing. And I'm going to give you the information that I think you need to know, which is really kind of insulting to the receiver. Because I know myself, I'd say, well, how do you know what I want to know? How do you know what I'm even interested in? And so there are several ways to build in inquiry that, and when you build it in such a way that it is open, and we'll talk about open questions versus closed questions. But, you know, then it becomes student driven. And that's where you can get a better engagement from your students when they feel like they can move into things that are more personal and have unique responses that are through the lens of their own life. One of the things being a visual arts educator, what a blessing, because in the art classroom, there are no right answers. And I have to tell you, I always taught high school, and I always taught freshmen, which I always, my gosh, they're a unique group to instruct. But it was so obvious to me how teacher-directed their educational experiences had been, because they would come into my classroom and they'd say, "Well, Miss, what am I supposed to do? What is the right, you know, what's the right answer?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, there's no right answer. Guess what? You can do whatever you think you want to do in here." And even though it seems like that is not as transferable to the more core subjects, there have been, like, Understanding by Design, which is a template, which is all about big ideas and essential or enduring questions to really make the experience more student-driven. Mm.
And why should teachers consider incorporating inquiry into their curriculum? What value does it place into both for the student and the teacher?
Well, the big answer is engagement, that the students shift into their own authentic responses to what it is they're studying. And when your students are engaged, you're a happy teacher. I mean, it's just that simple. So I would use QFT, question formulation technique, and they have a website that you can go to. They have all the materials there. What I would do, and there's one thing about question formulation technique that I really loved, and that is that it is collaborative. And of course, that's a 21st century learning skill that we want to use in the classroom. So when using QFT, you and in the video, it's we made these paper mache monsters. And so the Q focus or the question that I would give the students is, well, how do monsters feel? Or what do they feel? And the students would get together in small groups and they would generate a list of questions that were open-ended and not closed. So any question where you can answer with a yes or a no is a closed question. Right. An open question is one that has no right or wrong answer, that has a variety of answers. And so, you know, I think that it's interesting because students typically they're like, I don't like group work. But really, when you can get them together and collaborate, you come up with so many more responses than if you had to generate that list by yourself out of your own brain. Mm-hmm. And what was so interesting, Aaron, was because I taught, you know, six classes during the day, and I would do this with them. And I would compile at the end of each class, I would take their questions that they wrote down, and I'd compile them into, okay, here's first period's list of questions, and here's second period's list of questions. And it just blew me away because across the board, you would have some similarity of questions from class to class, but you would have really divergent questions showing up. And then I would compile all the lists together for them of all the class questions. And then they would choose three questions from that major list. And then those are the questions they would use to spring off and begin to start their inquiry. And let me just go back and say that I misspoke, because the Q focus is not a question, it's a statement. And so the statement was monsters feel. And then they generated, well, why do monsters want to eat people? Why do monsters want to scare people? Just the variety of questions that they would come up with. So I just think that, you know, it promotes collaboration in a fun way. And even for those kids who are pretty shy and don't feel comfortable putting ideas out there in the classroom, they usually can, even in that situation, be engaged in the process.
And one of the things that I really enjoyed watching your video is the conversations between the students. As they're developing the questions, you will hear them say, well, that's a closed question. Mm-hmm. And then they'll revise that question to be an open question. And for you to say that that was the first time you've used it in the classroom, the kids latched onto this concept very easily. And you could tell, you know, like, if you hadn't told me that was the first time you had done it, I would have thought this had been done over and over again. These kids had used this several times because they knew how to basically take ownership of this and write questions and that led them to create some really cool monsters. I liked seeing the outcomes in the slideshow that you have.
Thank you.
That shows what the kids created. So yeah, it's not like what you're doing with inquiry is really hard.
That's right.
It's actually very simple, and it's something that is very user-friendly for the kids.
Yeah, and I really want your listeners, I mean, that's why I said this is the first time I did it. And it just shows you how fearless I am, but also how invested I was in trying something new with the kids, right? And I think that is another thing that is really valuable. You want to continue, you know, they get bored if you're doing the same thing over and over again. So you want to bring in new experiences and you know, if you're unsure or feel a little timid about it, then just do it with one class, you know, just check it out with one group of kids and see how it goes and then sort of build from there.
And before you use this, like how long had you been teaching at this point before you started using the inquiry design model?
Maybe 8 years.
Okay. And so did you notice, like, after you started using inquiry, any significant transformation in student engagement or in the student work?
Well, one of the things that I really worked with the kids about was divergent thinking. And I'm so, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed right now because I'm trying to think of somebody that did the...
Ken Robbins.
Yes. His... Challenging the Paradigm of Education video is, I would show a section of that video to my kids, and we would do that paperclip activity every year with the kids as a little challenge, class to class. It's like, well, let's see which class can get the most ideas for a different use of the paperclip. And so, you know, what I had observed in my early years of teaching were these very predictable responses that the kids would come up with. It's like groupthink, like everyone is pulling from visual culture and from popular culture and not really coming up with their own solutions to things. And so I would work really hard. And here's the thing about divergent thinking. It's not a one-hit wonder. Like there was one year we did the paperclip activity at the beginning of the semester, and I kind of brushed my hands and I said, okay, we've done our divergent thinking exercise for the year, so we're good to go in art. And it's like, no, the creative muscle, the divergent thinking muscle has to be continually exercised. And so building that inquiry into additional instruction really helps strengthen that divergent thinking exercise. One of the things that that corporations and you know, big businesses have been sort of wringing their hands about is that they hire these youngsters, but they don't know how to problem solve. They just want someone to tell them what to do. And so it's been really, really hard. And so I think that's where the art classroom is unique and is a great place. But that doesn't mean you can't do it in science or math or history or any other subject.
Well, you talked about QFT. So could you walk me through the process of doing that? Tell me about a lesson plan that you would do start to finish using this QFT.
So one of the things that we would do would be, I loved making books with the students, and we would make a collage cover for it. And so I would start with the Q focus, and let's just say that the books would say, books communicate. Okay, that's your Q focus. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to make your own handmade book and you're going to design your cover. Then you introduce the rules to the students. You say you're going to ask as many questions as you can. You don't stop to discuss, judge, or answer the questions. You write down every question as it's exactly as it's stated, and then you change any statement into a question. So you give them like 5 minutes to do that, and then they work together, and then you go through and you look at questions that they generated, and they go back and they examine them to see if they're open questions or closed questions. And if they're closed, then they need to rewrite it so that it's an open question and doesn't have just a yes or no answer. I mean, there's a lot of ways that an instructor could use that, but I would compile the whole, like across many classes, into one document for the total list of questions that all the students came up with. And then in our class, they needed to choose three questions that they were going to use for their ideation of their design. And then they would make their design, and then they would come back and, you know, create their project. But then at the end of the lesson, we would circle back to that, right? We would go, I was in the art classroom, we were, I use self-reflective documents with them with every assignment that they had. And so then I wanted them to go back and look back. Well, okay, so you started with these questions, you made this design, you made this books communicate. Now, what came out of that? Were there surprises? Was there something that, you know, was very, that you identify with really strongly? So, it's really just as simple as that. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you were to do this like in a math class or a science or an English class, I mean, like for history or social studies, you could pose, say you're dealing with justice. You could start off with justice is.
Yes, exactly.
Ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Or in science, you could say something like, the environment is, and then let the kids generate questions. Would that be?
Yes, yes. You could even go into environment evolves, right? Mm-hmm. So you, mm-hmm. instead of using is, you can begin to look at other verbs to associate with that noun, right?
Mm-hmm. How about in math class? How could we use this, say, in math? Any ideas with that?
Math matters. Because, yeah. Of course, the kids are always like, oh, why do we have to do math? And it's like, well, I always tell them it exercises a completely different part of their brain, and then they need that exercise. So,
yeah. Well, and finding and allowing them to generate the questions that recontextualizes math into real world application, I think that is where the meat of using inquiry and math would help to, you know, help to engage students even deeper.
Well, and Aaron, actually just all of education in general.
Yes.
They don't understand why any of it matters.
Right.
They're just like, why are we doing this? You know, why does it matter? So it's a very interesting time, but I think this ancient vehicle of questioning is universal. And yet, in QFT, they have a couple, I mean, the book that they wrote, trying to pull it up here, see what the exact title is. Maybe you can just include that.
Is the book you're referring to, because it's in your presentation, is it Make Just One Change?
Yes, 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 okay. Yes. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put that into the show notes for sure.
Okay.
Okay. To get teachers started into using inquiry into their classroom, are there other resources that you would recommend that we look into so that we could start this journey?
So I think that, and there are different curriculum models that have different nomenclature, but they all really focus on essential questions. And oftentimes those are generated by the teacher. And I think the other thing I want to say is that, you know, there can be a dance between the instructor and the student in who's asking the questions, right? I think sometimes the students need to feel empowered, and we need to teach them how to ask questions. But I think we can also model for them how to construct a really good question by, you know, constructing essential questions and really having conversation about that with them before they start their research or their learning activity. So I think just more conversation about questions is a really great place to start, even if you're not sure, like your district doesn't have a curriculum like Understanding by Design that encourages incorporating those enduring questions.
Students want to learn. They want to engage. They are curious. They just need to be given the opportunity to question, discover, and learn for themselves. Inquiry recognizes student agency and honors the fact that not all learners are going to learn the same material in the same way. Rather, it empowers them to learn in ways that make sense to them and liberates them to discover for themselves. For more information about Christine, visit beyondthecurriculumpodcast.com and check out the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button, as you will want to catch each and every episode. And remember to leave a rating and review. I appreciate your support, and it helps others find the show. I'd like to encourage you to partner with me through my Patreon page. Your support helps offset the cost of producing this podcast and bring more meaningful opportunities that take learners beyond the curriculum.